course, I am lucky. I am sad about the people who die, but I am lucky also to save myself.
A survivor of a fierce in-flight grenade and gun battle aboard an Iraqi jetliner as hijackers tried to commandeer the flight. The plane, bound for Amman, Jordan, crashed while attempting an emergency landing at an airstrip in the middle of the Saudi Arabian desert, killing at least 62 of the more than 100 people aboard. The question is, who done it? Anonymous telephone callers claiming to represent at least three underground groups are saying their organizations were responsible. Iraq is blaming Iran, its enemy in the Persian Gulf War, but Tehran Radio says Iran had nothing to do with it. Margaret Rogg in Cairo has details of the terror in the sky.
Suleiman Arar, a former interior minister in Jordan, gave this account of the ordeal. The Iraqi Boeing 737 had a smooth takeoff from Baghdad Airport yesterday afternoon. The trouble began about an hour into the flight. A man with a grenade raced through the cabin. An Iraqi security guard followed in pursuit.
We heard shooting and a voice of pump, big one. I heard also pump in tourist class and shooting also. It seems to me, after that, everything under control. We came down and down to Harar Airport. I saw fire and smoke. And we tried to find our way outside the airplane. And the door was open. And we get out.
The Jordanian survivors say they saw two hijackers and were told of two more by other passengers. They believe two of the hijackers were killed as the plane went down, but said they saw two others being treated at a Saudi hospital. The Saudis still haven't used the word hijacking, nor mentioned the possibility of any hijackers surviving. But some reports this morning say the Saudis have taken two men into custody. Margaret Rogg for CBS News, Cairo.
The Frenchman freed from captivity in Lebanon must have had one of the most enjoyable Christmases in the world yesterday, home at last. David Andelman reports from Paris.
Aurel Cornea, for 292 days a hostage in Lebanon, made it home for Christmas. This morning he headed off to church to give thanks.
It's kind of the impossible dream.
Cornea said he thought he was chosen as the one to be freed over another member of the same French television team seized in Beirut earlier this year because he was older. But he thinks his colleague could be next.
He and me, we imagine together, it's a question of weeks.
Yesterday afternoon, a French government jet carried him to Paris's Orly Airport. A reunion with his wife, embraces with two other members of the team released earlier, an emotional appeal from France's prime minister for freedom for France's five remaining hostages. David Andelman, CBS News, Paris.
CBS News correspondent Bruce Morton has been surveying the feelings of some former American hostages on the chances more captives will be released.
Father Lawrence Martin Gento, a freed hostage, is not hopeful about the chances for freedom soon of those still held.
I sound somewhat discouraged for the chances.
I am. All right. You hate to say that because it discourages the families and when you feel a sense of discouragement.
Freed hostage David Jacobson a few days ago also seemed down.
You know what Tom Sutherland and Terry Anderson are eating tonight? Do you have any idea? They're having a piece of Arabic bread and some cheddar cheese. And they're in a little room without any outside exposure.
Five Americans are now held hostage, not counting William Buckley, the former CIA chief in Beirut, who is thought to have been killed by his captors. Three of the five, Reed, Sisipio, and Tracy, were kidnapped after the Reagan administration began sending arms to Iran. At Sisipio's home outside Philadelphia, signs remind passersby this holiday season of the days the hostages have spent in captivity. The trouble is, the arms to Iran policy fell apart, and there doesn't seem to be much else right now the United States can try. Bruce Morton, CBS News, Washington.
The New York Times quotes a senior government official in Central America for a report linking the outgoing ambassador to Costa Rica to construction of a secret airbase for use by the Nicaraguan Contra rebels. The newspaper says the ambassador, Louis Tams, helped win the permission of the Costa Rican government to build the airfield and then was deeply involved in overseeing its use, maintaining close contact with the so-called private supply network set up by the ousted National Security Council aide, Oliver North. For the second time in as many days, a ship has gone down in the stormy North Atlantic off Iceland, and all 12 crewmen are feared dead. Dan Raviv has the latest from London.
The distress call was heard on the radio by Iceland's Coast Guard. The message that a British-owned tanker called the Cimeta had run into large rocks along the east coast of Iceland. By the time the Coast Guard got there, according to Ingemar Ingemarsson of Icelandic Radio, the ship had sunk.
It is known that 9 persons are dead, and they fear that all of the crew will die during the night.
The tanker was said to be empty, the vessel on its way to pick up a cargo of cod liver oil, Iceland's major export. On Christmas Eve, an Icelandic freighter carrying herring to Russia sank in rough seas with the loss of 6 crewmen. Dan Raviv, CBS News, London.
In the Mediterranean, 8 sailors are feared drowned after a Cypriot freighter sank in stormy seas Christmas Day. The 16,000-ton stainless trader with a crew of 18 went down 20 miles off Sardinia. 10 survivors were plucked from the water by rescuers.